Today, Shir is a Masechta Ksubas on Daf Tzadik Hey. We begin with the Mishnah near the top of Daf Tzadik Hey Amid Aleph. Says the Mishnah, although in yesterday's Mishnah we discussed someone who was married to four wives, today's Mishnah goes back to someone who was married to two wives. Mishoya Nasi Beis Nashim, someone who was married to two wives. Umochar Es Sadehu. And he had a field that, as Rashi tells us, was meshubed for the ksubos of his wives. And he sold that field. And it's speaking about here where the zman of the ksuba, similar to the last Mishnah, of the two wives was not on the same day. One preceded the other. And therefore, as we learned in the last Mishnah, the din is that whoever had the first ksuba has the first lien and the first right to collect her ksuba. The kosva rishoyna lelekeach dinu dvorim ein liyimach. The first woman who got married first, who had the first ksuba, the first lien, she wrote to the purchaser of the field that her husband had sold that I will not have anything to do with you. Which means that I will not have any way to prevent you from keeping your field. And even if your field winds up in my possession, I will not prevent you from taking it from me. Because as the Meiri explains, if I were able to prevent you, then what would my mechila, what would my forgiveness here accomplish? The second wife, as we're soon going to learn, she didn't make such a deal with the lekeach. Therefore, she's going to be able to take it out of the lekeach. The first wife, as we're going to learn, is going to take it from the second wife because she only said that she won't prevent the lekeach. It doesn't mean that she forgave her entire lien. Once the second wife has it, the first wife says, I come first, I get it. But now that she has it, if we were to say that she would keep it, and she only meant to say, if you to Lekeach have it, I won't take it from you, but if I wind up getting it, you can't take it from me, then in this situation, her mechila doesn't accomplish anything. Because the second one takes it from the Lekeach, she takes it back from the second one, and then the lekeach can't take it from her. It must be, says the Meiri, that when she said, dinu dvorm ein liyimach, she meant to say, if you have it, I won't take it from you, although I have a lien on it. And if I wind up getting it, I won't stop you from taking it away from me. So the Mishnah continues, hashniyah, the one who was married second, whose lien was second, and she didn't make this deal with the lekeach, might see me alekeach. She's able to take it out from the purchaser because her lien came first. Virishona minashnia. And the first woman with her lien takes it out from the second woman. Because as we explained before, when she was mochel, the ability to collect her ksuba from the lekeach, she was not saying to the shnia that I am forgiving my entire chov of the ksuba. I want my ksuba. I just don't want to take it from the lekeach. But if you have it, if the second wife has it, I want to take it from you. But now that the first wife takes it from the second wife, v'halekeach min harishayna. Now the lekeach can take it back from the first wife. As we explained before, because the first wife said, I won't have any din Torah with you concerning this field, which means, A, I will not take it from you, the lekeach, and B, if I wind up having it, like in this scenario, where the first wife takes it from the second wife, I will not prevent you, the lokeach, from taking it back from me. Now, what this amounts to is v'choz ros chalila, that they go around in circles. Because once the lokeach takes it, then the shniyah can take it from the lokeach. The rishayna can take it back from the shniyah. The lokeach can take it back from the rishayna. And so on and so forth. They're going around in circles. And the Meforshim explain here that when the Mishnah says rishona, the shniya takes it from the lekeach, it doesn't mean she actually takes it, because Bezdin knows that subsequently, the Rishonah is going to want to have it from the Shniya. And they also know that the Lekeach is going to want to have it from the Rishonah. So what the Mishnah means is that in a Din Torah, the Shniya would win it from the Lekeach. But then in a Din Torah, the Rishonah would win it from the Shniya. And since we know that all this is going to happen, Beis Din says, wait a second. We're not going to go around here in circles, but rather, as the Mishnah concludes, Achiyasu Pshar B'Neim. They have to come to some kind of compromise between themselves. Maybe they split it three ways, and until they come to a compromise, it Yehei Munach, it stays there in Beis Din, and nobody has the legal right to take it until they make a decision. The Chalkas Mechoikek in Chaysh Mishpat, in Simen Kuf, Se'if Chavav, he says that it's, you don't need all three parties to make this agreement, this pshara, this compromise. Even if two of the three make it, we'll be able to manage. For example, if the first wife says to the second wife, if I get paid up what's coming to me, I won't collect the field from you. So then what they are doing is they prevent the lokeach from collecting it. Because whose lien comes first? The Shnia's lien comes before the Lekeach's lien. Because when she got married, the husband had the field, and her lien went on that field. And then he wound up selling it, so the Shnia comes before. So if the Rishon and the Shnia make up that I'll take money, you take the field, then they block out the Lekeach. Or if the Shnia makes up with the Lekeach that I won't collect it from you, then the Rishona loses out because she's not able to collect it from Lekech because she had stipulated Dinu Dvormein Limach. Or, finally, if the Lekeach does not take it from the Rishon, so then the Shnia loses because the Rishon always comes before the Shnia. The only way the Shnia got involved here is because the Rishona gave up her right to take it from the Lekeach. But if the Lekeach makes up with the Rishona, you keep it, and then pay me money, and you keep the field, then they block out the Shnia. So if two of the three make a deal between themselves, they're able to bring this case to a conclusion. If they can't make a deal, two out of the three, then if they all compromise, everybody takes a third, that is the only way that we would be able to solve this case. Otherwise, it stays, nobody has a right to it until they come to such a pshara. And the Mishnah concludes, v'chein balchov, so is the din with a balchov, a malva, someone who is owed money, v'chein isha balaschoiv, and also a woman to whom money is owed, the same din, that it goes around in circles, and it stays, it doesn't belong to anyone until they make up sure exactly what the case is of balchov or isha balaschoiv. Rashi points out that the Gemara and Amud Beis, right before the end of the parak, will explain what these two cases are. Begins the Gemara. V'chi kosvalei mayhavi, we say in the Mishnah that the first wife is able to tell the lekeach and write it down. Dinu dvorim ein li'imach, I am not going to collect my ksuba from you. Does that writing help? V'atani, we learned in the Braisa. Ho'im l'chaver, if somebody says to his friend, I want to give you a present. And what's the language that I use? Dinu dvorim ein li'al-sarazu, I have no business trying to get this field, or I say, ve'ein li esikba, I have no business with it, or I say, ve'yadim esulekasei mena, I take my hand, I remove my hand from this matter, I have no business here, lo yomer klum, those words are meaningless. If you want to affect a matana, those are not the words which affect a present. So by saying dinu dvorim ein li'imach, the Gemara wants to know, how does that mean that the woman actually gave up her right to collect her ksuba from the lokeach? The Gemara answers, hachav mayaskin, here we are speaking, b'shekana miyada, where they did a kinyan through a suder, this is where they exchange a cloth, and which is known as a kinyan suder, and through that kinyan, they are so mechtas, the woman agrees that, in fact, through the kinyan, she will not go after the lokeach to collect her ksuba. The Gemara asks further, even if there was a kinyan, there still should be a way for her to wiggle out and say that I really didn't mean what I said. Why can't she say, Tema, she should say, Nachas Ruach HaSisi LeBali. My husband came to me and asked me, do I mind if he sells the field? What am I supposed to tell my husband? Well, what happens if you die or you divorce me? Where am I going to collect my ksuba? That would not be a very good way to increase Shalom Bayis peace in the house. And therefore, although I was reluctant, but I had no, I wanted to do a favor for my husband. If the Lekeach buys a field knowing that I have a prior lien on the field, he'll pay much less. The husband says, I want to get the best price. If you relinquish your lien on the property, I'll be able to get top dollar. So of course, I for Shalom Bayis reasons, I wanted to go along with my husband, but I really didn't mean it. Why can't you back out? And where do we find a precedent for this? Mi loitznan, did we not learn a Mishnah in Gittin on Daf Nun Hey Amid Beis? Lokach min ha'ish, if somebody bought a property from a man. The chazav lokach min ha'ish, and then he bought it from the wife, as Rashi points out, that the Gemara there explains that there are three cases where it would not be sufficient just to buy the property from the husband, you'd have to buy it from the wife as well. What are those three cases? Number one, where it was written in the ksuba that this field is a field that is meshubah to pay the ksuba. Although all the property of a husband is, there is a lien on them to pay, to satisfy the wife's ksuba, but here it's speaking about where this particular field was written into the ksuba, that the ksuba will be paid from this field. If the field is sold, you must receive permission from the wife as well. Or, it wasn't written in the ksuba, but there were witnesses that heard the husband say, this is going to be the field from which the ksuba will be collected. Or finally, if it's nechsei tzoin barzel, this is property that the wife brings into the marriage. In all of these three cases, in order to sell that field, you need the permission of the wife. So if they went to the husband and he said, I want to sell it, then they went to the wife and she says, I agree. So the din is mekhoi batol. It is not a good mechira. Alma, so we see, yecholi shetaymer nachas ruchas islabali. How could you say mekhoi batol if they both agreed to the sale? The wife can get out of it by saying, I only meant it to do a nachas ruch to my husband. Rabbeinu Yonason, in fact, asked the question, isn't this dvorm shebeleif? This is, verbally she said, I agree. She can later say, well, I didn't mean it. In my heart, I didn't really mean it. How does that work? We know in similar situations in Shas, the only way that you could do it is if you're Meiser Moida. You take two witnesses and say that, I have to tell my husband that I agreed to the Mechira even though I don't. So I want you to know, you two witnesses, that I'm protesting the sale. Not in front of him, but I'm telling you. So how does it work here? Rabbeinu Yonason answers, since her taina is nachas ruach asis labali, part of that taina which Bezin accepts is that I didn't even want to go get witnesses. I didn't want to be meister my dog. Because if that comes back to my husband, that I protested the sale in front of two witnesses, that will not increase the shalom bias in the house as well. So here is an exception where the chachamim allowed that even though it's only verbal and it's only in her heart, and verbally she agreed to it, she can get out of it by saying, nachas ruach asis labali. So the Gemara is asking, how does it work in our Mishnah? Why do we say that she was able to relinquish her rights to collect her ksuba from this field? Maybe she only agreed to the field because of a nachas ruach to her husband. Rab Chizda said, it's not difficult. Our Mishnah versus the Mishnah in Gittin, which says that mekhoi batel because she could say nachas ruach. Because in fact, it's a machloikis tanoim. Hor Rab Meir, Hor Rab Yehuda. This Mishnah is going like Rab Meir, and this Mishnah is going like Rab Yehuda. They argue, in fact, whether you could say nachas ruach or sis labal. The sign we learned in the Brisa, kasav l'rishin v'loi chasmalai. There were two fields. One field that the husband sold, she did not sign that she agrees to the mechira. L'sheni, he sold another field, v'chasmalai, and there, she agreed to the mechira, and she said, "I will not go after you." Like similar to the case we had in our Mishnah, where she said to the lekeach, I won't take my lien of the ksuba against your property. The din is, according to Rab Meir, if the ksubasa, divi Rab Meir, she lost the ksuba. Why? To the second one, she can't go because she said, I'm giving, dinu dvorim ein leimach. I'm not going to go after you. I signed that I'm not going to go after you. What about the first one? Let her go there. The first one says, wherever there is b'nei chayrin, wherever I left you, hiniach lach makam ligvais bimenu. I left you over a second field. You went ahead and said that you don't want to collect from the second field. That's not my problem. You decided to do such a thing. But when I bought the field, I knew there was a ksuba, but I knew I had left over b'nei chorin. I had left over fields which were belonging to the husband from where you could collect your ksuba. Your husband later sold it, and you told the lekeach you're not going to go after it. That's your problem. So according to Rab Meir, she cannot say, well, when I said that I'm not going to collect it from the second one, I only meant it l'nachas ruach. No, she can't say that. Rab Yehuda Aimer, Yechoy Lehisha Taimer, she can say, nachas ruach asis l'baili. I only said to the second one that I'm not going to go after you because I wanted to do a nachas ruach to my husband. And I agreed with the field, with the sale, and I said that I'm not going to take Mike Suba as a lien against that property. And therefore, although she can't collect from the first one, Rabbi Yehuda says she can collect from the second one. Because the second one, she could say that she just... The first one she can't collect because the first one says I left over the second property. But the second one says, Rabbi Yehuda, she could collect. She said, I'm not going to go after you. I only did that for my husband. You should get top dollar for the sale. So what, Ata Malachem Alai, what do you want from me? I didn't mean it when I said that I'm not going to go after the second purchaser. Now Rashi learns the following words as a statement. V'Rebbe, Sosim Lahacha K'Rab Meir, V'Sosim Lahasam K'Rab Yehuda. Rebbe made two Mishnayis. One, he said, like Rab Meir, that a person cannot say, the woman cannot say, I only did this for Nachas Ruach. Which Mishnah is that? That's our Mishnah. When she says, Din Udvorim Ein Leimach, so she cannot go anymore and collect it from the Lekeach because she gave up her right. She cannot say, I only did it for my husband. And the other Mishnah, which says in Gittin, Lakach Mina Ish, the chazer v'lakach min aisha mekhoi batal. Why is the mekhoi batal if she agreed? The answer is because she could say, I only did it as a nachas ruach to my husband. That is being said like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the wife can say nachas ruach. That's how Rashi learns. The Taisvis Rid learns that the Gemara is asking Akasha. We know halacha kastam mishnah. The halacha is always like a mishnah where you don't have a name attached to it. But because that shows that Rebbe was paskening, that's the halacha, like the anonymous mishnah. So how could, ask the Tosfos Rid, that's what the Gemara is asking. How could the Rebbe make a contradiction? In our mishnah, in Ksubas Daf Tzadik Hei, he indicates that stam mishnah, halacha k'Rab Meir, that you cannot say nachas ruach. And therefore she cannot collect it from the lekeach. And the Mishnah in Gittin is not Mishnah, like Rabbi Yehuda, that she could say. And that's why Mechoy Bakal, she didn't agree to this Mechira. The Gemara says, Amar Papa, Begrush of a Divrei HaKohel, it's not a contradiction. Our Mishnah is speaking about, you know when she said this? After she was divorced. After she was divorced, she can't say, oh, I wanted to do Nachas Ruach to my ex, who I love so much. Of course she's not doing this Nachas Ruach. Oh, so in our Mishnah, even Rab Meir is Moda, that she cannot say Nachas Ruach. And even Rabbi Yehuda would be Moda, that she cannot say Nachas Ruach. And therefore it's no stira between the two Mishnayos. Rav Ashi, my Rav Ashi says, Kula Rab Meir he. Both Mishnayos, the one here, the one in Gittin, are all going like Rab Meir. Because Rab Meir did not always believe that she cannot say Nachas Ruach. Sometimes even Rab Meir agrees you could say Nachas Ruach. When does Rab Meir hold you can't say Nachas Ruach? We'll speak the Gemara outside. The Rab Meir says he can't say Nachas Ruach if the husband sold it to two people. To one purchaser, she did not agree to go along with it. She did not sign that I won't collect from you. And to the other one, she did sign that I won't collect from you. Now, when you want to do a nachas ruach for your husband, you know how to do it. So why didn't you do it the other time? Oh, the other time means that the time that you didn't sign it, you really meant it. So the atkan like kama Rav Meir hasam el mishtei lekuchos. When did Rav Meir say? What was the halacha where Rav Meir said it? Rav Meir said it in the Brisa, that ivdok subasa, that she lost her ksuba. She cannot say nachas ruach. The first one, she cannot go to because he could tell her, I left you over to the second one. The second one, Rav Meir holds, she cannot go to because you cannot say nachas ruach. Why? When did Rav Meir says his din only there b'shnei lekuchais? The Amri law, because Bezn will say to her, "E isa de nachas ruach avdet lekamoi boilach lemevet." Why did you only want to do a nachas ruach by the second mechira? What happened to the first mechira? There you didn't agree to not go after the first mechira. There, right? You only agreed by the second one. If you're a woman who always wants to do Sholem Bayis, then you should have agreed both times. So therefore, we are of the opinion that you're really not interested to do a Nachas Ruach for your husband, and therefore, you agreed with the second Mechira. So therefore, you lost it. The first Lakech he can't go to, because he'll tell you to go to the second. The second Lakech he can't go to, because you don't really mean Nachas Ruach, or else why didn't you do it by the first one? Avul b'Lakech Echad, but in the Mishnah of Gittin, where it's lakach mina ish, v'chazer v'lakach mina isha, afilu Rav Meir moide, even Rav Meir would be moide, that she could say, nachas ruach asis labali, and that's why the mechira is not a good mechira, because there we're not speaking about two lekuchais, there we're only speaking about one lekeach. We don't have any proof that she's a woman who doesn't always want to do nachas ruach for her husband. So we only have one lekeach, there Rav Meir would agree. Now, what about our Mishnah? Umasnisen, our Mishnah, the Kosov Leilacher, our Mishnah is speaking about that when she said, I don't want to have anything to do with the Lekech, I'm not going to collect my Ksuba from this property, her husband had already sold it to someone else. A previous field he had sold to someone else. And there she did not say Dinu Dvorim. And what does Rav Meir hold when you have two sales? One of them where she said, I agree, and one which she didn't say, where she did not say I agree. Rav Meir holds in such a situation, even the one that she agreed to, she cannot say dinu dvorim, she cannot say that nachas ruach asis labali, because why didn't you do it the other time? So what you're saying nachas ruach is meaningless. Therefore, your words are, we go after your words that in fact you are dinu dvorim ein li'imach. So it comes out according to this pshat. Everything is going like Rav Meir. Rav Meir is mechalek between one purchaser and two purchasers. By one purchaser, you could say dinu dvorim. There he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda. By two purchasers, you can't. Rabbi Yehuda holds even by two purchasers, you could say dinu dvorim. Maybe one time she was in a better mood with her husband, and one time she wasn't. So when she was in a better mood, she agreed. She wanted to do a nachas ruach. The other time she didn't. And our Mishnah over here is speaking about where there are two lekuchos, to one she said it, to one she didn't, and therefore we say that she didn't even mean it the second time. She was not doing it dinu dvorim. She was not doing nachas ruach to her husband, and she was in fact selling it, and she meant it to not collect from him. This is how the Gemara wants to answer it. Tanan Hosam. We learned over there in a Gemara in Gittin Daf Mem Chesam Beis. This is the klal that we have based the previous Gemara on. Ein nefrom in the chas meshubadim b'makom sheyesh nechas b'nechayim. We said that the lekeach rishon, she cannot go to him. Why? Because he could say, "What do you mean? I left you over a field that was free. There was no shibudim on it except your ksuba. Your husband went ahead and sold it to somebody else. Go and collect from that person." And now, if I left over a second field from where you can collect your ksuba, afilah hein zeburis, even though it's an inferior field, But still, if I left it over, you have to go there first before you can come to me to, for my field. He boiled the Bnei Yeshiva had a question. Ishtatuf Bnei Chayri, Mao Delif Terev Mishabdi. What happens if the Bnei Chayrim got ruined? The first Lekech left over a field from which the woman should have collected her ksuba, but as the years went on, the field got ruined. Can the woman now go and collect it from the first purchaser? So what's the Gemara Shaila? So the Mefarshim explain, because what does it mean, Ein Nefrom Menachas Meshubara B'Malkum She'esh Menachas Bnei Chayrim? Does that mean that if I leave over a field from where the ksuba can be collected, the shibud, the lien against my field goes away entirely? Then even if it got ruined later, you can't come to me, because I was able to get rid of the lien against me because I left something over. Or is the pshat, it's an order, a seder. First we go to the Bnei Chayrin, if they're there. If they get ruined and they're not there, then we go to the Mishabarim. Do we go to the, to that which was already sold to somebody else? But it's not that the lien totally goes off your field. It means the order is to first collect from the Yechayim. That's the question. Tashma coming here from our Mishnah. Coming here from the case that we had before, the Brisa. The Machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Kosev l'risha v'lechasmalai. The husband sold the field to the first person, and she did not sign that she wouldn't collect her ksuba. She plans to take the ksuba from the first person. L'sheni v'chasmalai. He then sold another field to a second party, but there she signed that she would not collect her ksuba from that property. Rav Meir holds, if the ksuba did Rav Meir, that she has lost her ksuba, says Rav Meir. Why? She cannot collect from the first field because the first one says I left over a second field. She cannot collect from the second field because she said I'm not going to go with a lien against the second field. So wait a second. Ask the Gemara, v'isal kedatach, ishtat b'nei chari, tarf m'shabdi, if you are of the opinion that all this rule of ein neforam nechas m'shabar b'mach m'shayesh nechas b'nei chari means is that there's a certain order, first come b'nei chari, then comes the m'shabarim. So here, when she subsequently said, dinu dvorim ainli, and Rav Meir holds, you can't say in this case that nachas ruach asis labali. So what she says, that's what it is. I'm not going to go to the second one. So what, when she says I'm not going to go to the second one, that's tantamount to it getting ruined. I cannot collect my ksuba from that second one. So where do I have to go? Do I have to go back to the first one? But you don't let me go to the first one. So l'chora, we have a proof that even when b'nei chorim get ruined, you cannot go to the first one. Nehe de ivdak subas misheni, even though by her own words, didn't vorm ainli yimach, she has lost her right to collect the subah from the second field. But Marisha and Mia Tikva, let her go back to the first one and say, I have no B'nai farm to collect it from. I want to collect from this field. You see, you can't do that. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my ivda, you know what ivda means? Ivda misheni. It doesn't mean she lost the ksub entirely. She lost it only for the second, but in fact she could go to the first one. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak is of the opinion that in such a case, you can go back to the first one. And if the field got ruined, the B'nai Chayrin got ruined, you can go back to the Lekuchais, and you can ask to receive the ksuba from there. Amar Rava, Rava said, I disagree. Shtei tshuvas b'davar. There are two reasons why you're wrong. Chada, first of all, the ivda, legamri mashma. Ivda doesn't mean you lost it from the second, but you can go back to the first. Ivda means you lost. You can't take it from anybody. V'yoi tanya, and the second reason you're wrong, because we learned b'feresh in a brisa, lava min echad. If Reuven lent from one person from Shimon, u'mocha nechasov l'shnayim, and then Reuven de Loves sold his two properties to two people, to Levi and Yehuda. The Kosev Balchov and Shimon the Malve, who had lent the money, wrote L'Lekeach Sheni to Yehuda, the second purchaser, Dinu Dvorim Ein Li Yimach. I'm not going to collect my Choy from you, Yehuda. Ein Loi Alekeach Rishon Klum. He cannot go back to Levi and say, well, I only said I'm not going to collect from Yehuda, but I could collect from you, Levi. Why? Levi can say, when I purchased the first field, I left you over free, unencumbered fields by the Lova from which you can collect your debt. So your debt has to go to the Bnei Chorin. So we see clear from this brisa that what? That where did Bnei Chorin get destroyed? Or in this case, where he said, I'm not going to collect from the Sheni, that does not give him a right to then go to the Rishon. The Rishon could say, I left over property. You decided not to take from that property. Don't come back now to me. Once I bought the field and there was property, as we explained before, it means that the lien totally went away from me. So Rav is proving l'chayra that this is the halacha. The Gemara continues, Hasam iyu da'afsed nafshi b'yadayim. Over there, he caused the loss with his own hands. Rashi says that these words that we just read are a continuation of what Rav said before. Rav is saying that the halacha by a balchov or by a ksuba, where I say I'm not going to collect from the second field, there the halacha is, you yourself, there's a big difference between a hurricane came, Katrina came and destroyed the field. That's a big difference than where I say that I'm not going to collect for the second field, and now I want to go and collect from the first lekuchais. I myself caused it that I don't have Bnei Chorin to collect from, because I told the buyer of the second field, I'm not going to collect from you. So where I myself cause that I have no other solution but to go to the Lekeach Rishon, there the Lekeach Rishon can say, I left over property. You should have gone there. Who told you to be Michael the lien from the second property? Don't come to me. However, perhaps, when the field is totally destroyed, it's nobody's fault that it was destroyed. It just happened that it was destroyed. So perhaps there, in fact, you left over Bnei Chorin. But by an act of nature, an act of Hashem, there is no longer any field to collect from. Then you, in fact, could go to the Lekeach Rishon. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat, because then the Gemara should have said, Ella. And as Rava is saying, what you wanted to say, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, is not correct. Ella, hasam iu da'afsed nafshi b'yadayim. There is a difference between, if I said, dinu dvorim, I don't want to go to you, or whether it got lost, there is this difference. You should have said Ella. That's why Tosfos learns that this is what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that there's not even a comparison between chov and ksuba. And as really, we've had here three cases, the way Tosfos explains it. We've had a case where after you, Lekeach Rishon, purchased it, an act of Hashem caused that it should be destroyed, the field. We've had a thing where the woman says, I'm not going to collect my ksuba from the second property. We have where a Baal Chayv says, I'm not going to collect my Chayv from the second property. So according to Rashi, ksuba and Chayv are all the same thing. They're different than destroying a field by Hashem. However, according to Tosfos, ksuba and chayv are not even the same thing. Why? By a chayv, which right now I have a chayv, which I could take my lien and go to the second property, and I say no, I won't collect from the second property. So you yourself are causing yourself to lose the place where you should have collected. Don't go to me, the Lekeach Rishon, and expect to collect from me. Why did you be Michael the second one? However, by Ksuba, it's not be a dime, says Tosfos. That's what the Gemara wants to say. That by Ksuba, it could be, since she's happily married to this person. She's not expecting him to die. She's not expecting him to divorce her. So there, if she said that it would ever come a far-fetched situation where I'd have to go and collect my ksuba, I wouldn't go to the second party, that's not called biyadayim as a chayvis. So it could be by ksuba, we could say that if it turned out that she had to go to the Lekeach Rishon, she should still be able to go to Lekeach Rishon. By bachayv, that's eminent, right now. You have the chayv, and you're telling us you're not going to collect from the second one. That you're causing your own loss. So there you won't go to Lekeach Rishon. So according to Tosfos, the Gemara is trying to be mechalik between chayv and ksuba. Now the Pnei Yeshua just speaks out that this chiluk that we came to at the end of the sugya here, of iu de'afsid nafshi b'yadayim, is a pashut chiluk. Anyone, when I was learning the Gemara, I thought of that difference also. It's not a hard thing to figure out. There's a big difference between a field getting destroyed by Hashem, which is nobody's fault, maybe there I could go, or to the Lekech Rishon, or where I myself caused it that I can't go to the Lekech Shaini. Who told you to cause that? There I can't go to Lekech Rishon. And yet we find that Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak thought that Ivda means Ivda, I only lost the second one. But I could go to the first one. What's the swore of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak? Why, if I myself prevent myself from collecting from the second, why should I be able to go to the first if he left over B'nai Charin? So the Pnei Yeshua explains, the Gemara's Havamina, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak was of the opinion that we know that Beis Din always tries to secure the loan for the Baal Chayiv. We have a halach which we've learned many times. Shalaitinol Dallas when they live it. We don't want to make it difficult for people to get loans. So we want to bend over backwards that the Baal Chayiv should be able to collect his loan. So that's why Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak thought that the only person she can't collect from is the second one, where she said, Dinu Dvorim Ein Limach. But the ksuba or the chayiv that they should be able to collect from the first one, we would bend over backwards, even though I myself am the one who caused that I can't go to the B'nai Chayrin. And the Gemara in Damascus says, yes, Shlaitil Dallas B'nai Lovin is very important, but we do have to protect the Lekuchais. What else could he do? He made sure that he left over property from where the chayiv or the ksuba could be taken from. Why should he be penalized now and have to pay up the debt if he left B'nai Chayrin over? Lemaisa, at this point, the Gemara yet hasn't decided what the halacha is in the Shaila. If the field gets ruined, can you go to the Lekech Rishon or not? Amar Le Rav Yemel Rav Ashi, he wants to be poshut this question as we turn to Rav Tzadok Hayomid Beis. V'hamaisim b'chol yoyim. As Rashi explains, there's maisim b'chol yoyim that the Beis Din paskins, that if the Bnei Chayrin got destroyed, that in fact you are allowed to collect from the Lekuchais. And the Gemara brings a story. Dahu Gavra, there was this man, the Mishkan Le Pardesa, he pledged a Kerem, Rashi says, a vineyard. He had taken out a loan, and he said to the Malva, you keep it for 10 years, you eat the fruits of the grapes in the vineyard, and at the end of 10 years, I won't have to pay you anything. That will be the way that I will pay up my debt. The Mishkan Pardisa Lechavre, to his friend, Lasher Shnin, for 10 years. Vikosh, Rashi says, that the Hiskin, it got old, it got prematurely old, and the field, the vineyard was not able to produce grapes anymore. So he's left with half of his debt unpaid. Vikosh Lechamesh Shnin, after 5 years. The Osla Kamai Durabonin, they came in front of the Beis Din, the Chachamim. Vikosh Lechirfa, and they wrote to the Malva, that he should be able to, a shtar, that he should be able to collect the remainder of the chayv from the lekuchais. So here, when the person had bought the field, he had left over b'nei chayrin. He had left over the vineyard from where to collect. And yet we allow the malva to go and collect from the lekuchais. So this is mamish a case where B'nai Chayrin got ruined, and what do we allow here? We allow them to go to the Lekuchais and collect. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good comparison to our Shaila either. Hosam Nami Inu Davsila Nafshayu. There it's the Lekuchais who caused the hefsin to themselves. Why? Kivan Daviyadi, since they knew the Pardesa of the Kish, that's a common thing. It's not a rare thing that a vineyard will get prematurely old and will not be able to produce grapes anymore. That wasn't a good purchase. You shouldn't have purchased it. So it comes out from Ahmed Aleph and Ahmed Beis, wherever it's someone's fault, we understand. Here, for example, on Ahmed Beis, where it's the fault of the Lekuchais, you shouldn't have bought such a bad thing. So there we say, you should have known that the vineyard is going to perhaps get spoiled. There you shouldn't have bought your other field. You should know the Malva is going to come after you. So there, in fact, the Malva is allowed to go to Lekuchais. On Ahmed Aleph, where the woman, or the Baal Chayv, said, I'm not going to collect from the second lokeach, so they're causing themselves to lose the prime place from where to collect their lien. So therefore, we don't penalize the lekuchos. So on Amin Aleph and Amin Beis, whoever's at fault gets penalized. That we understand. My question of the Gemara is, well, it's nobody's fault. It's an act of Hashem that the field got ruined. What's the din over there? But the Hilchos of the Gemara comes out, Ishtadav b'nechar retar from Shabdei, even though we don't have any clear proof from any Gemara to this Shaila, but Allah Chalamaisa, if you left over b'nechar and they got ruined, you're allowed, the Balchoyv or the Ksuba can go back to the Lekeach Rishon and collect from them, from those Lekuchos to satisfy their Chov. Amar Abaye, said Abaye, Nichsei Lech, if a person said that my property, he's speaking, Rashi says, to a Pnuya, a woman who was not married. And he says, I'm giving you a present, but vachrayich, after you leave this world, leplaini, then I want it to go to Ruvain. Va'amda, and what did she do? She got up, v'nisas, and she got married to Shimon. And then she died. So, does it now, according to the words of the person who gave the present, who should get the property now? Ruvain, because he is the acher. He's the one who's supposed to get it after the woman. No, the din is Baal lekeachavi. The Baal, when a Baal is allowed to eat nichsei melug of his wife. So during her lifetime, he eats only the fruits. But after her death, he inherits her, and then he inherits the guf. Retroactively from the day he got married to her. We had this earlier in the Masechta. So he is considered the first right of a purchaser. Lekeach havi, he's a lekeach rishon, ve'ein lachrayach, b'makam ba'al klum. Even though the nice matana said, after your death, it goes to Ruvain, but since she married Shimon, Shimon becomes retroactively the first purchaser, and he becomes before Ruvain. Kiman, who's this going like? Kahai tana, like the following tana, the son, you will learn from Brisa. If somebody said, nichsei lach, this property goes to you, v'achrayach, and after you leploin, it goes to the other person. Yored a rishon u'malchah, the first one went down and he sold it to a third person. Hasheni, moitzim yad alakuchais, divri Rebbe. Rebbe holds that the acher, that person who was supposed to get it second, now that the first one sold it to a third party, the second person can be moitzi it from the third party. Because you, the third party, are not supposed to get this. It's either one or two. I, one, sold it. He has no right to sell it. However, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein L'Sheni Ela Ma'ashar Rishon. The Sheni only has what the first one leaves over. In other words, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel learns that when the Mnosan Matana said to the first one, after you, the second one gets it, that means after you, if you still have it when you die. It doesn't go to your Yashim, your inheritors, it's gonna go to that other person. But in my lifetime, I can do with it what I want. If I wanna sell it, I can sell it. So then the Sheni, the Acher, has no right to take it away from the Lekeach. All the Sheni has is what the Rishon leaves over. And here the Rishon left not the Guf, not the Paris, nothing. He sold the whole thing. So Memela, when we learned before that the Baal is considered a Lekeach Rishon, and the Acher is not able to take it away from him, that's going according to who? According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Frey, the Gemara mi, Omer Abaye Hachi, did Abaye then say this? Well, Omer Abaye said, Ezo Rosh Arim, what's considered a cunning, evil person? Zeh HaMesi Eitzel Limchor B'Nechasim, Rav Shimon Gamliel. If he gives somebody an advice to sell to the chosn like Rav Shimon Gamliel. In other words, you have such a case where the nosein matana, the giver of the gift, said to Ruvain, it's yours, but after your death, it goes to Shimon. Comes along Mr. Russia, and Mr. Rush says to Ruvain, hey, you want it to go over to Shimon? Sell it! And Rav Shimon Gamliel tells you that once you sell it, it's a valid sale. And you'll keep the money, and then your inheritors will get the money. This way, once you're gone, your inheritors won't get anything. So that's considered an evil person. So the Mefarshim explain, if Ruvain himself sells it, it's a valid Bechira. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that power was invested to him, was given over to him by the Nosei Matana. But if you weren't planning to sell it, so this guy meddles in and tells you in Eitzah, he's considered a Rasha. Because what was the real Kavana of the person who gave the Matana? That if at the end of Reuven's life he still has this property, I want it to wind up that Shimon gets it. And you, Rasha, are giving him an Eitzah to sell it like a Shimon Galil. So what the Gemara is asking is, how could Abaye over here say Alacha? That if she got married, the Baal is considered a lekeach rishon, and therefore the acher cannot take it away from the Baal. But didn't Abai himself say that in a case, not with a wife, but in a case where Reuven sold it, the Mechira is good, like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but that is an Eitz of a Rasha. So why would Abai be telling us a case which involves an Eitz of a Rasha? The Gemara answers, Mikamatinase. It doesn't say here that Abai told the woman. The woman got a gift. So the Abai doesn't say, hey, lady, you know what? I have a good idea from you. The idea is get married, then your husband will be a Lekech Rishon, and then it won't wind up at Acher. You don't want it to wind up, but I'll give you an Eitzah. So that's not what Abai said. Abai said the case is Nisas Kamar. It happened that she got married. What's the din if she got married? The din if she got married is that her husband remains a Lekech Rishon. So from that, people will not learn that this is an ideal thing to do. It's not an ideal thing to do. Because ultimately, we really would want to be Mekayim, the words of the giver of the gift, to wind up that it should go to Sheni, to the Acher. This is not really ideally what he wanted. So the Gemara feels that this is not a problem. Because Abaya wasn't telling the woman a trick. Get married, and this way you won't have to give it over to the Acher. He was just saying, what is the din? If, in fact, she later got married, whether it stays with the Acher, or as the halach is, that it stays with the husband who is the Lekeach Rishon. And now, Abaya says another halacha. V'yomer Abaya, nichse loch, v'achrecho leploini. And here, as we're going to see from the end of the Gemara, and Rashi speaks it out here right away, here the woman was married. She was not a psula. She was married. So a man came over to a married woman, and he says to her, I'm giving you a present. This belongs to you. And after you die, v'achrecho leploini, it should go to that second person. U'machra, she sold it. U'mason, then she died. And she was married. Habal mites me out of lekuchais. The husband takes away from lekuchais. Why? Why does the Baal take it away from lekuchais? Because we learned that the Baal is a lekeach rishon, and he has first rights to the property. He gets from his wife as a lekeach rishon, so he can take it away from the lekeach, whom his wife sold the field to. V'achrecha, now that the husband has it, v'achrecha miyad Baal. So what happens now? The acher goes over to the Baal and says, hey, wait a second, I get it now. Now why does the acher get it? Didn't we learn in the Gemara before from Abai, and the Gemara is going to ask this question soon. Abai has said that if a husband gets it, he's the lekeach rishon. He trumps the acher. Why here does the acher trump the husband? The answer is because here we're speaking about where the woman was married. So when this nosen matana says to the married woman, you get it, and when you die, it goes over to the acher. What do you mean it goes to the acher? It should go to your husband. Your husband to yashin you. Teret says, I don't want your husband to get it. I only want the acher to get it. So if the husband some way winds up with it, who takes it away from him right away? The acher will take it away from him. Now that the acher has it, who gets it from the acher? V'lekeach miyad achrach. The lekeach will get it from the acher. Why does the lekeach get it from the acher? Because Rav Shimon ben Gamliel were going, according to his shita, that if it was sold by someone, then it's a good mechira. In the case of the woman who got married, her husband's considered a lekeach rishon, and it's a good mechira. If Reuven gave a present to Shimon, and Shimon said, and he says it should go to Levi after your death, and Shimon sells it to Yehuda, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds the mechira is a good mechira, and it doesn't have to wind up by Levi. So Memela, now that the Acher gets it, the Lekech takes it from the Acher. So in other words, you know what this case is? This is a case of Chayzer Chalila. We're going around in circles. Why are we going around in circles? Because the Baal, who's the Lekech Rishon, takes it from the Lekech whom the wife sold it to. The Acher takes it from the Baal, because as we explained, by a married woman, if you say such a statement, then you mean to say that the Baal should not trump the Acher, but rather the Acher should trump the Baal. So the Acher takes it now from the Baal, but now the Lekeach takes it from the Acher, because once it's sold to the Lekeach, if Shimon Gamliel holds, that he gets to keep it before the Acher. And once the Lekeach has it, then the Baal comes back to the Lekeach and says, I'm a Lekeach Rishon. And then the Acher comes back to the Baal and says that you can't get it. So it keeps going around in circles. What's the din? Umukmina lekula biyad lekeach. The din is, the Bezdin says, don't go around in circles. We award it to the lekeach. Ask the Gemara, Maishna Modestan, how is this different than our Mishnah? What's the case in our Mishnah? The Choizris Chalila Achi Yasu Pshora B'neim. The case in our Mishnah was where the husband had two wives, and the two ksubas, and one ksuba came before the other, and the woman, the first woman said, I'm not going to collect from the lekeach. The second woman did not make that statement. The husband sold it to a lekeach. So the din is that the second woman takes it from the lekeach, because she has a lien. Once the second woman takes from the lekeach, the first woman takes it back from the second, because the first woman said, I only was moichel, that I'm not taking it from the lekeach, but I wasn't moichel my whole ksuba. Now that you have it, the second woman, I get it. Now that the lekeach, now that the isha, the first woman gets it, who gets it? The lekeach gets it, because the first woman said she will never stand in the way of the lekeach from getting this, so he gets it. Once the lekeach gets it, the second woman gets it, then back to the first woman, then back to the lekeach. Chayzer chalila, circle. What was the din in the Mishnah by chayzer chalila? Achiyasu pshar b'nam. They have to come to a compromise. The lekeach and the two ksubis have to share it, let's say, a third each. So here in this circle that we just said, with the person who said the nechasim go to you, and the woman was married, and afterwards it goes to the pliny, there we say it remains with the lekeach, and here we say that you make a compromise. The Gemara says there's a basic difference between the two cases. Hasam islup say the lekula over there by the two ksubas and the lekeach, everyone stands to lose. The first woman's going to lose her ksuba, the second woman could lose her ksuba, and the lekeach could lose the money, invest it. So there we say compromise. But ha-ha, who's going to lose money in our case? Lekeach who this lepseida, he spent money. He's the other people, in other words, the one who gave the present to a married woman. So the husband is not owed anything, he's not a bal chayiv. He didn't invest any money. The Acher, he didn't invest any money. He was not owed a chayv. He doesn't, so they don't stand to lose anything. The only one who stands to lose is the lekeach, the one who paid money for the field. So in that case where it's only one person who stands to lose money, we say to Deniz that he gets to keep it. That's how we end that circle. Ozel Rafram, Omer Shmaitz Kamed Ravashi, Rafram went and said over this halach in front of Ravashi, and Ravashi asked him the following question. Me, Omer Abaya Hachi, did then Abaya say this halacha? The Omer Abaya said before, we had two halachas of Abaya in this Amid. Abaya in the first halacha said, Nich se lach vachrechel aplaini, if a man says to a woman who's a pnuya, this property is yours, and after you die, it goes to the pliny. Om de Venises, and she got married to someone. So the din is Baal Lekeach Havi. Ve'en lach recha b'makam ba'al klum. So he becomes a Lekeach Rishon, retroactively. And the Acher cannot get it from him. He's the first purchaser. So why over here, why isn't the same halacha over here? In the second case of Abaya, where we said it goes around in circles. Right? In the case where the halacha was that a woman got a matana and she sold it. And the nosu matana said it should go after your death to an acher. So we say that once she dies, it goes around in circles. Why does it go around in circles? The husband is the lekeach rishon. He should come before the lekeach. And what about before the acher? He should come before the acher as well. We learned that ain la acher b'makam the baal anything. Because the baal is the first lekeach. I have a right, like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, I have a right to sell, when I have the property, I could sell it to whoever I want, and it's a legal sale, and I don't have to give it to the acher then. So which person takes precedence in this circle? It should be the baal. Why do we say it's a circle? It's not a circle. The Gemara answers, Amalei Rafram answered, Rav Ashi, Hasam da Amalakshi Pnuya. The first case is where she's a Pnuya. So the guy, the nice Matana said, it goes to you, and after you die, it goes to the Acher. Meanwhile, she got married. Oh, she got married. That's like selling it to a Lekeach Rishna husband. He trumps everybody. He keeps it. But Hacha, in this second case of Abaye, da Amalakshi Nesua. We spoke this out from Rashi in the beginning of the case. But here's where the Gemara says it. It's speaking about where he gave it over to present when she was already married. When she was married, my karma law, what did this nice matana say to the woman? Achrecha likni, after you die, this third party should get it. What do you mean the third party? I have a husband. Ah, yeah, I know you have a husband. I don't like your husband. So once you die, I don't want your husband to get it. Baaloi likni. So in this case where she's married and he distinctly says, I want an acher to get it, it means he's telling her, you keep it. And if you don't keep, if you die, it goes to the acher. So now we run into a problem of a circle because the Baal is the Lekeach Rishon and he trumps the Lekeach, but the Acher trumps the Baal. Because that was the wish of the Nisim Matana. But who trumps the Acher? The Lekeach trumps the Acher. Because the Lekeach bought it from the woman, and the law is, while the woman was alive, it was her ability to sell it to whoever she wants. So the Lekeach trumps the Acher. And the Baal is Lekeach Rishon trumps the Lekeach. There we get into a whole circle, and there the final halach is that it goes to the Lekeach, because he's the only one that stands losing the money. But where the woman is a Pnuya, so then when he said it goes to you, and when you die it goes to the Acher, she wasn't married at that time. So the nice matana didn't mean to say that if you get married it shouldn't go to your husband. There, in Echnami, the husband precedes anybody else, and he gets to keep it once his wife dies. Now the Gemara explains the last two cases of the Mishnah, v'chein balchoiv. The Mishnah said, v'chein balchoiv, v'chein isha balaschoiv, will also have a case of choizer chalila, of it going around in circles, and the halacha will be the same as our Mishnah, that what? That they have to make a pshara, that they have to make a compromise. What is the case? Tana, we learned in a Tosefta, v'chein balchoiv u'shnei lekuchois, a balchoiv and the loiva sold it to two purchasers. As Rashi explains the case, and let's do the next case at the same time, because it's the exact same case. In fact, Tosis asks, why do you have to tell me the two cases? They're identically the same. V'chein isha balaschoiv u'shnei lekuchois. A isha balaschoiv means that she's owed the ksuba, and there were two purchasers. So it's either about Reuven, a Balchoiv, or about Sora, who's also a Balchoiv. She's owed her ksuba. And there are two purchasers. So Rashi explains the case that Reuven was owed by Shimon 100 zuz, a mana. Shimon had two fields. Each field was worth 50. So he sold both fields. He sold one field for 50 zuz to Levi. He sold the other field for 50 zuz to Yehuda. So now the Balchoiv comes. And Shimon has nothing to pay the Balchoiv from. So Reuven the Balchoiv, or Sora, the woman who's trying to get her ksuba, goes to the first field. And we have to speak out that Reuven, or Sora, said that we're not going to collect from the second field. We're only going to collect from the first field. So now, Reuven or Sora go to Levi, the first field, and they collect their half of their chov. The woman is owed, let's say, a mana for her ksuba. The Reuven is owed a mana for his chov. They go to the first field, they collect half. Now, what does Levi, the Lekeach, what does he do? Levi goes to Yehuda. Because Levi's lien was first. He was the first Lekeach. Now, and he bought a Bacharias. That you, if I lose it, I have to get it paid back. So now it was taken away from me. I go to the second one. Now, by the way, Rashi speaks out. Levi can't say originally when Reuven or the woman come to Levi, he can't say, Hinachti loch, I left you over B'nei Chayrin. Because here we're speaking about where each field is only worth half of the loan or half of the ksuba. So in other words, the woman or the Balchay, Reuven, can say to Levi, we have a right to come to you also, because I'm not going to get the whole chay from Yehuda. Good. So Levi had to pay Reuven. Levi had to pay Sora. And now Levi goes to Yehuda. Levi says, I bought it first. So I have the first kedima. I take away your field now. So now Levi has the second field. So Levi took the field from Yehuda. Now Reuven goes back to Levi, or Sora goes back to Levi and say, we only said we're Moichel, we're not going to take it from, we're not Moichel our whole lien, we only said we're not going to take it from Yehuda. Now you took the second field you have at Levi. Now we're going to take it, we take it from you. On you we have our lien. Okay? So Reuven, or in the case of Sora, they take it from Levi. Now Yehuda takes it from Reuven, because Yehuda lost out on his field. And you, Reuven, or you, the woman, Sora, you promised me that you would never stand in the way. Which means, as we spoke out at the beginning of this year from the Miri, it means not only that you won't come to me to collect your ksub or your chayv, but you won't stand in the way when I want to get it back from you. So Memela, now Yehuda can go to Reuven, or Yehuda can go to Sora and get it back. Now that Yehuda gets it back from Reuven, so now we start the circle all over again. Levi goes to Yehuda, Reuven goes to Levi, Yehuda goes to Reuven, and we have this circle Chayzer Chalila in this case. So that's what the Mishnah says, V'chein Baal Choy V'shnei L'kuchayz, V'chein Isha Baal Choy V'shnei L'kuchayz, that in such a situation where all of them can lose money, there the halacha is that instead of going around in circles, they have to make a pshara. If they don't make a pshara, they have to leave it. But if they make a pshara, it's good. And since all of them can lose, they all have to make a pshara. In the case before, where it also was a circle, but there, we said it stays by the lekeach, because he's the only one who invested money. He's the only one who could lose the money by the matana. And therefore, in that circle, the halacha was that it stays only by the lekeach. Baruch Hashem, we were able to learn this whole parak together, and we could say, Hadrin Olach Mishraya Nasi, Hadrin Olach Mishraya Nasi, Hadrin Olach Mishraya Nasi, and tomorrow, B'siyata Rishmaya, Rabbi Elephant will be back.